Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir.
Doing fine, bro.
Let's welcome everybody to this show, man. Let's welcome everybody to this show.
Let's do that.
It is the Brothers For Real radio show. Coming to you all the way from Charlotte, Washington, D.C., Burlington, and Waynesboro. Now, that's live, bro.
That's real, all the way live.
Technology or something, isn't it, man?
Wonderful when it works.
It's some wonderful stuff.
East Coast Connection.
Hey, Leon, am I?
You know,
they
had
all
these things, no. Yeah, you are, man.
I'm using my... You clear the bell. I'm using the microphone and headphone tonight. So I'm not calling in by phone. You notice on the dashboard it has marketing pulpit instead of my phone number?
Yeah, I see that.
So that's dialing directly from the computer.
I wonder what was up with
that. So I'm going high tech tonight.
That's slick right there. I'm gonna have to try that. As I get over this cold, I'm going to try some things.
Oh, man, not a cold.
Yeah, man.
Sorry. Yes, it is. It's going around.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell these folks right quick. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Brothers For Real radio show. We really enjoy talking to ourselves, but we really like to hear from you every now and then. The call-in number is 215-383-3872. Also, you can go to www.brothersforreal.com. Is that right, Robert?
That's right as rain.
Robert was a bad dude. He had all this stuff set up. I just asked him if I could, do this show, and he said yes. And
I
appreciate it, Robert.
One of the best decisions I ever made.
Huh?
You're a very capable host.
I'm going to fall for that. Thank you, brother. I'm desperate. we really appreciate Robert Gatewood. We're going to say something else about Robert before we get into Dr. King. Now, Dr. King made this possible. Dr. King made all of this possible. Can we agree on that before I move forward?
Yes, sir.
Yep, you got my thumbs up, buddy.
Yeah, Jill and Sabrina Huff, I see you on the line. How you doing tonight?
Very much so. I definitely agree, and I am doing wonderful.
It is so nice to hear your voice. So nice to have you with the brothers tonight. We appreciate you being here. But
thank you, sir.
Dr. King made all this technology, made all this possible. And they were using all this technology on Dr. King way back then, man. They had some stuff going on that we're just getting our hands on. But anyway, we'll talk about all that later, too. But I have a very serious question I'd like to ask everybody before we get started. Have you guys ever lost your cell phone?
I try not to do that.
Yeah, can't say that I have.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I know. I have.
It's a scary feeling.
Now, who on the line has lost
y'all
their
must
cell
be,
phone?
Y'all must be married. Uh-huh. I'm going to tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. I lost my Saturday. So I just decided I am not going to go get another one. I'm not doing it. I'm done.
Wait, man, what you talking on there, boy? What you talking on? A regular phone?
No. Hear the story out. Hear the story out.
You talking on something.
Oh, God.
But that's some not to be connected.
Listen. I decided I was not doing it ever again. So I went in there. So I went a whole Saturday, all day Saturday.
Wow.
And actually, he's a witness. I went all day Sunday. Yes.
Oh.
I was over in Charlotte riding around all day Sunday visiting mom without a phone.
Man, I'm sweating. Why are you saying that? I'm sweating. I'm getting anxious hearing that.
Let me tell you what happened. People will get you, though. I was actually supposed to be letting a young lady in at the Hollis Center, and she called me on the computer. You can't hide, brother. And I'm glad I couldn't. But anyway.
Called your computer. Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's a whole new show right there. So here's what happened. I finally broke down and went in there. And what I started thinking about was all the information I had on my phone. And I said, I can't just walk around like this anymore. So I went in there and asked the young lady that was at the AT&T store. I said, ma'am, I lost my phone. And she looked at me like she panicked. I
said, she panicked for you, huh?
She's like, what you going to do? I just went in and asked her, well, can you just blow it up from here? Can you push a button to blow it up? She said, no, but we're working on that. And I'm really looking forward to that day.
They had to take you to telephone ER. It's like, this man doesn't have a phone.
Yeah,
Get him on a gurney. Get some fluids in him.
I'm trying to tell you, man, they panicked in the store. Mr. Gatewood, you gonna have you ever had a phone for 2 days? I said, yeah. So you guys don't have a story to share with me about losing a phone? I'm not falling for it.
No, sir.
Nah. I've never lost one, but I wish I had. I've never lost one, but I wish I had lost it. I've been running around saying, "Darn, I wish I'd lose this phone," but I keep them forever.
You have the same phone you had. You have the same phone you had since you moved up from a flip phone.
Joe's phone had the satchel with it. Had the little briefcase that comes with it.
If I could still use it, I probably
would have.
He had
a flip phone, and he moved up from the flip phone, but he's had the same phone since the flip phone.
Oh, the flip phone, okay. Flip is coming
but
back.
But the thing
now.
Was, you couldn't break it. You couldn't break it.
Yep, same way with televisions. I hate when a new television comes out, because a television won't wear out.
Oh, man, wait, okay, I got to tell y'all this, and then we're going to move on. Check this out. Now, here's what I did. Down at the Hollis Center, right? I said, I'm tired of paying this cable bill. So, got Netflix. You know, you got Amazon. You got Yahoo. All that stuff here. You know, has movies and stuff. You know, information. YouTube. All that. So, I had this big old $900 TV sitting on the wall in the center, right? You know what I'm saying? I don't care if they go steal it. But anyway, it's this big old thing sitting there on the wall. And what turned out, now it's not Netflix compatible.
Oh, man.
What? Yeah.
This notification started coming up on the TV a few years ago. Well, a few weeks ago. Few months ago. Said on December 17th. On December 17th, this TV will no longer be Netflix compatible.
That's jacked up.
So now you got to go crawling back to the people
you
love.
Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. That's a trick. They want to get in to buy a new TV.
It's a burden. It won't work.
Get your money.
It's
people
a trick.
You can't get Netflix.
That's why I'm so reluctant about changing. That's why I'm so reluctant about changing things. Because most of the time when you do change something, you find out there's something missing that you had.
Exactly. It's
you never get everything you had before.
That's right.
Why I'm
so
an iPhone.
Yeah.
What you say, Sabrina, about an iPhone?
That's why I won't go to an iPhone, because you have to know all your numbers, because they're going to go from 1 to 100 before it's over. Nope, give me an old Android. I'm satisfied.
Yeah, I'm down with Samsung. I'm down
Definitely true to that.
Yeah, so I just wanted to share
that with
everybody.
Yeah, be careful
with
that.
Yeah. If you haven't lost your phone before, don't. I just wanted to, that's this whole show, we can, you know how the preachers do. The preacher say a little, somebody got to sing a happy song, then he'll say, well, we can go home now. But it never happened.
And why are we on that subject? You know what I just found out? Hey, Leon, Robert, and Sabrina. You know what I just figured out while we were on that subject about this technology?
What that?
Our cable service went down probably 2 weeks ago. We got it restored. Everything back fixed. I thought we had everything fixed. But guess what? I just found out my Wi-Fi don't work anymore. I can't even find my Wi-Fi, username in the system anymore. So I guess they restored everything except my Wi-Fi.
Oh, my God. Robert, you're having too much fun over there.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is. That may sound kind of painful, though.
Because, you know, they come in there, your phone working, you're watching your TV, it's working. You get on the Internet, it's working. Okay, thank you for coming out. Yeah, we appreciate it. A month later, something you don't use every day, you go to use it. That's not working.
That's depressing.
Yeah, oh well.
All right, guys. Can I say something? Can I transition here a minute?
Transitioning, we got a little bit off key here.
I said that, but talk about transitioning, because there's so many of our friends and relatives transitioning. I just really feel like we should take a moment of silence. There's so many.
Yeah, a lot of people transitioning from crazy to crazier.
Oh, Lord. We're not talking about those right now.
but
crazy to crazier to crazy.
Let me go. Let me get on out of there. We'll talk about that later. I was trying my best to get mellow. Oh, boy. You got something else. Anyway,
wow.
I will say this. We have a lot of friends and relatives. We have a lot of friends and relatives transitioning. And we want to give, pay our respects to them and give prayer and prayers for peace and encouragement to the families, because there's so many. I mean, it's just like a tidal wave of death passing through our community. And, I mean, all ages, it doesn't matter. Had a young lady, 25, passed away the other day. A good friend of ours just passed away a couple of days ago. And we just want to make sure those families know that we're in support of them, you know, the best we can, because everybody's gone. I hear a lot of people say, well, no, someone's going to still be here when the rapture comes or whatever. But we can all look forward to going. So we just want to keep each other prayed up and do the best you can for all you can while you're here. Just do it, because live for the young people. That's what I mean. That's the stage I'm in now. I'm living for the young people, trying to make sure the young people have something to look forward to, because we've done it, you know. We've basically done what we do, what we're going to do at this age. So it's time for us to start looking for people to pass that torch to, pass that baton to, that's right up behind us, and get that and clear up, keep clearing the path for them. Keep clearing the path towards success for them. because that's what we're here for. That's why we're here. I'm done. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Martin Luther King Jr., he was born January 15, 1929. And he lost his life on some violence on April 4th, 1968. And what I would like to say is, what I would like to think about Dr. King is he had his dream and he worked hard to make his dream come true. He did not let anything, I say he didn't let anything deter him. Seemed like the harder they tried to stop him, the bolder he got. And the bolder he got, the harder they tried. And, of course, they did the ultimate. They did the ultimate act against him, which was murder. And you will notice when people start doing the right thing, when people start doing the right thing, somebody's coming after you.
Mm. That's true.
Somebody's coming after you.
Amen.
And you start doing the right thing. Because the devil, people always say that the devil's busy. Excuse me. And of course, I always say God is busier. So we have to stay out front. We have to, those of us on the path of righteousness have to stay out front. And not be deterred or dismayed by the evil people. Because they're out there and they're constantly moving. Brothers, I'm glad to have Joseph on the line today. I'm glad to have my brother Curtis on the line tonight. Glad to have my brother Robert and my brother and my sister Sabrina Huff on the line tonight. I'm very excited to have you guys. I'm not going to talk long. I know I got Joseph on the line who can really put something out on this subject, and Curtis on the line who can put something really out on this subject, Sabrina and Robert, who I'm noticing watching every Friday, who can put something out on any subject.
Okay.
So, brothers, tune in. Let me say this right quick, y'all. I know Robert is going to be inducted into the Livingstone College Hall of Fame on February the 6th. Is it, Robert?
Yes, sir. February 6th.
Awesome.
February the 6th.
Congratulations.
The Livingstone College Hall of Fame.
Hey, Robert.
And I'll just be honest with you.
Yes, sir. What you feeling, Joe?
When I get my tickets at?
Oh, I sent it to you in the mail. I sent you a thing yesterday. I got the information a little late. The lady said she had sent it to me and it came back. So I didn't really get it about 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks after I was supposed to get the package. So I just sent out your invitation with your tickets in it. And
you didn't.
So that's coming to you. You'll get it tomorrow.
All right. Okay. All right. Long as I know it's coming, because I was. Okay. I'm waiting. I'll be ready.
All right. Looking forward to seeing you guys. Man, this is going to be exciting. I'm really excited about it. You know what I like about it, though? I read the caption of what the award was for, and it was really about service. And that's what has been my calling card most of my life. I've considered myself a servant. And so I feel like the award was a recognition of something I've strived for my entire life. So I was glad to accept the award.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yep. Proud of you, brother. Proud of you, brother.
Yeah, man. We're going to have to do a party for you guys, Leon and Robert. We need to do a good, good brotherly party somewhere.
Hey, I'm all for a party.
Yeah, these great. Commemoration. Mm-hmm.
Let's keep it.
Honor.
Let's remind him, man.
We're going to remind Kelly.
We need to do that, man. Really, we need to do a big throwdown for the honorees of these milestones. We can't take these things lightly.
Nope.
Anytime you get recognition, you shouldn't take it lightly.
Right.
Yeah. Because I've noticed.
Like Leon was saying earlier, there's just so many reasons why people will try to just disparage you or break your spirits. So when someone does something or an entity or a community or organization or institution will do something to say we appreciate you,
right.
That is a great thing. That's a great thing. And we need to embrace it as such.
Well, for everybody who doesn't know, it's actually a combination of the United Negro College Fund and Livingstone College. So it has a little more reach than Livingstone College itself. It's actually Share Your Love and Serve It in Celebration of for the Leaders Hall of Fame. And it's bestowed upon individuals who have given tirelessly of themselves as they serve their communities and or profession. Have demonstrated the qualities of a servant leader. Those are the words that pulled me in.
Wow.
I'm not into fame and fortune, but when you're saying we're going to celebrate service to the community, then I'm all in. However, and plus it's for the United Negro College Fund as well, so I think it's very deserving. It's a worthy cause, besides the induction.
The truth of the matter is the people that have served the community the most all the people who have less fame and fortune.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
Which is unfortunate, right. But generally the case.
Yeah, we're a society of hero worshipers. And
right.
Unfortunately, most of the heroes are not deserving. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn, but I'm saying I wasn't looking for any award. But I do, when I see people like my brothers and people who are out here in this community that's just really doing the hard work day in and day out, then I accept this award for everybody who's out there doing the work.
You know when I got that spectacular Man of the Year award.
Oh yeah.
One of my customers called me and that thing said she it was just like it was the award all over. She said, Mr. Gatewood, she said, I'm glad that somebody finally recognized you.
Yeah, yeah, I was feeling the same way about you. I had to kill the needs in the world.
That did so much for me.
Yeah. Very deserving, very deserving.
People down in the trenches that's really doing the hard work, like I said, not necessarily making a fortune, but they're really serving the community in a profound way. And it's always good when somebody recognizes those people. And having said that, Robert, I just want to say congratulations to you because you are well-deserving of the award.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
And likewise.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Can I add something to that, gentlemen?
Please.
Sure.
Can I add something to that real quick? I actually had the pleasure today, and it's really I've learned to stop saying ironic because I believe now that things that are supposed to happen are just happening. But I was thankful to be present today at one of the high schools here in Rowan County, South Rowan High. And I go in, I do college access planning with the students. And so as I'm there today, I leave out of the media center and go over to see one of the counselors. And as soon as I walked in her office, she said, "Oh, my God, your timing could not have been better." I said, "Okay, well, I'm glad I'm here. Tell me exactly why I'm here then if my timing couldn't have been better." She said, "We're getting ready to go over to the auditorium because Reverend Jesse Douglas is here to speak to the students today." And Curtis, that name may ring a bell with you. It may ring a bell with someone else, so I don't want to take for granted that everyone does not know his name. But I'm going to share with you why I say particularly Curtis, because our Reverend Jesse Douglas, if you remember the photograph of Dr. King as he's walking to the courthouse in Montgomery,
right,
there is a man holding his left arm, and he was always identified as the unidentified white man.
Hmm.
Wow. Well, I'm here today to tell you that Reverend Jesse Douglas is not an unidentified white man. He is actually a African-American albino.
What?
And he spoke at South Rowan High School on today to the student body, and I was present there, and the things he shared were so phenomenal. We could do a whole nother show just talking about some of the snippets of what he shared, but the one thing that I wanted to share with you guys, that his theme today was servant leader.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So that is everything that's supposed to be happening. I don't take for granted anymore. It's happening because it's, for lack of a better term, it's supposed to happen. So we need to stop acting surprised, because everything that's lining up the way it's supposed to be. Phenomenal speaker. He's 89 years old.
Wonderful story. Wonderful story.
Wow, thank you for
glad
sharing
that,
Sabrina.
I was very
yeah,
good.
Good
to be present.
Let me, since we mentioned Dr. King, I do want to go back there.
Well.
This is his birthday is tomorrow, I think it is. And first I want to, again, thank you, Robert, all my brothers, really. I'm really proud of my brothers, my sisters, my family. I've been blessed, siblings, mother, parents. It's just been a great ride in spite of what sometimes we may have to go through. But
proud
I
of
do
you
want
bro.
To say, when you think about Dr. King, a lot of times, we look around today, and sometimes we may hear certain people speaking eloquently with the charisma. We may hear or see people making in front of rallies. We may even see people getting arrested and going to jail. But I do want to say that, and I put myself in this saying this as well, we do not come near anything near what Dr. King and these people who actually put it all on the line, what they were about, what they had to go through, what they dealt with. And, sometimes we look at people today, if they happen to be in the area of civil rights, for example, and start saying, "Is that our Dr. King for our generation?" So on and so forth. Dr. King said it best. He said that the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands during the time of comfort and convenience.
Well,
because a lot of times, see, we're in the time of comfort and convenience. There's not anybody really just hanging us, lynching us from trees and blowing up our houses as they were at that time. So we don't know what a lot of these people that we see out here now would do. In fact, chances are they would stop. They would go somewhere and hide and zip their lips. If they had to go through what these people went through. So, I think about Harriet Moore and his wife, Harriet Moore and his wife, Harriet, who had their home blown up on Christmas Day, as it was also their 25th anniversary. You know, these people were still willing to go out and speak and stand and rally and, if necessary, go to jail. There is nothing like that going on. And so I just want people to know we don't really know what we have right now when it comes to those comparisons. And a lot of times we are too quick to act as if we have our Dr. King or our Malcolm X or our Mega Embers or our David that would stand up against Goliath after he slayed the whole community. So the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands at the time of comfort and convenience. But we need to understand, see where people are at the time of challenge and controversy, when everybody zip their lips and they're quiet because someone has made a threat, a giant or a killer or a racist or an oppressor made a threat to say, if you speak on this, you will die. And so I'm just saying, Dr. King deserves a lot. And the thing I like about Dr. King the most is he actually lived the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That so many people talk about, they preach about. They preach about it as long as they are in the area of comfort and convenience.
Mm.
But when it's time to speak out against a war that might take money from your church, or when it's time to speak out against someone that might have been threatened by the Ku Klux Klan in the area or in the churches, are those preachers willing to come out and speak against that threat? Chances are they will not. They will zip their lips.
Mm.
So Dr. King, I'm thinking about his profound message, the ultimate measure. Where do you stand in the time of challenge and controversy? And I've noticed at the time of challenge and controversy, and I've seen this in my own life, a lot of times people that you thought were activists, that you thought were the Dr. King of that era, those people get quiet. And that's my little piece.
Wow.
Kurt,
okay.
I just wanted to say this right about you right quick. I've always admired you as a brother that would not zip your lips.
Never.
For too much. I want to ask you something. Have you ever zipped your lip? I mean, has anything ever frightened you?
Well, thank you, Leon. I take that as a big compliment. And I just want to say I try to live by what I admire about those such as Jesus the Christ, such as Martin King, such as the prophets who came before me. So if I am zipping my lips, trust me, I am working on making sure I don't. And
Leon.
You
raised an interesting question when you asked the question about have you ever been afraid. Well, it's not the matter of being afraid or not. It's a matter of whether or not you let your fear control your actions.
Amen. Amen.
And your true beliefs.
If you
because see, some people don't believe it. Some people don't mean to do right, and they don't even believe it right. So those people, you know, they're not going to be out here talking because they're corrupt. But the ones of us who profess to be this and that about justice and righteousness and Jesus and all these things,
right?
Which I give you because credit. My brother, you guys don't really profess to be all about saving the world and Jesus and justice and all that, even though you do great work. But I'm saying to those who actually get out here and actually have a following and actually get paid, I'm saying to those people, you know, that they are not really anywhere near what Dr. King was about.
That's right.
Wow.
And Dr. King, just like, and even Jesus, they mentioned that the fact that sometimes they were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just like Jesus the night before he went to the cross, he said, if there's any way to possible to remove this cup from me, do it. But not my will, but your will.
Right.
But the thing, it's like I said, the difference between a coward and a hero, the coward is controlled by his fear. But a hero does what he knows is right, and he knows what he should do in spite of his fear.
Right.
And, and it's talking about Martin Luther King. It's amazing how every year we do all these Dr. Martin Luther King celebrations and prayer breakfasts and, you know, and whatnot, but we still are not living according to his message. Still are not doing the things that he told us to do, or the things that he died for. We are still not doing it as a people. In other words, we just made him like a holiday, a celebration, something about the same thing of Santa Claus or somebody. You know, the same way we've done Jesus. You know, we talk about man, but we don't acknowledge his movement, or we don't acknowledge him by doing what he preached to us and told us what to do.
Right. Yeah, I have a couple of things to say here. One of the reasons I asked
Curtis. Go ahead,
Sabrina.
I was just going to say Joseph and Curtis are absolutely on point with what Reverend Douglas said today, because one of the students asked him, one question was, how do you think Dr. King would feel if he were still alive today with our nation? And, of course, his answer was he would be appalled. We all know that that would definitely be how he would feel. And then to know that we have not come any further than we have with all of the lives that have been lost today for civil rights, the students got a chance to hear it from someone that walked arm in arm with Dr. King.
Right. Amen.
Interesting, Joseph. I was talking about that very thing yesterday.
I really want to say this.
Yes.
You know, we talk about the dream a lot. You see what I'm saying? And see, that is for the comfort zone folk.
Mm-hmm.
They want to talk about the dream. Because, see, it doesn't take anything to dream. It doesn't take any real sacrifice. It doesn't take any real putting your lives on the line to dream. So they like to take that and distort the message out of the dream and put it into the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Dr. King was not just a dreamer. Dr. King was willing to put his life on the line to make dreams come true. But he happened to talk about the dream at a time of challenge and controversy, because the thing he was talking about in the dream at that time could have gotten a person murdered. Just to talk about a dream that he talked about out loud. A lot of so-called civil rights activists today, the reason why I know they're phonies is because they are continuing to do some of the same things that Dr. King made safe for us. Out of his sacrifices, Dr. King made safe the fight for voting, but it wasn't safe at the time he was fighting. You see what I'm saying? So now people are safe during that fight. Dr. King made safe the fight for integrating schools because they were so willing to die for it. But now people are still talking about integrating schools when it's really not controversial. It's not. It's a comfort discussion to talk about integrating and voting now. In fact, a lot of us are not going to vote now that we have the right. But my point is, we should be looking at things that are very controversial that we do not yet have. And that could possibly cause harm. I mean, because why would we still have family conversations? Why do we still permit terrorists to live on American soil while we continue to talk about ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all these, and we actually have terrorists all around us, and people are not demanding, and I'm just saying it'll be controversial, and some people say it's not worth it, but I'm just saying to you, I don't think Dr. King would be satisfied that the Ku Klux Klan is still in existence. I don't think Dr. King would be satisfied with the mass incarceration that we have, and I think he would be saying something that's so controversial about getting these young men out of prison until it would bring hope. I mean, I think he would be so controversial about reparations and things like that that we don't have right now, that it would be something that you just wouldn't imagine. But we're doing the things that a society will permit us to do. And that's what I'm hoping that I can try to shift as God gives me more of courage and more of a platform and more of a voice. I want to shift this conversation. We're no longer having to worry about integrated schools right now. We no longer have to worry about voting or not. I mean, we need to deal with voter suppression, don't get me wrong. But the civil rights activists today are still stuck on the stuff that Dr. King left behind 50 years ago. And we have not moved. And so I just need to say a little something. But I'm just saying, we need to
I got you, Chris. We're going to have to ask you clear your phone up a little bit. Clear your phone up a little bit. I don't know what you're talking about, speaker phone or what, but okay, you muffled up. You're a little muffled. What I wanted to say, Curtis, is reason I asked you about the fear question was because I see you do a lot of stuff I wouldn't do. You know? And I don't know whether that means I'm weak or what, but
no, it doesn't mean you.
I see you do a lot of stuff. I'm glad he's doing it. But I mean,
well,
let
me say this though, guys. I think Curtis and Dr. King, they do have quite a few things in common. And even though, as Joseph said, it doesn't mean that you're not afraid, but when you let fear dictate your moves and your thoughts, then that's when we have somebody who's not really worthy of being a servant leader. Now, Dr. King, what I like to do is address the people who like to second guess Dr. King, that who now have the benefit of hindsight, who say that they question integration and things like that. But you have to remember, you have to put things in context. Dr. King, when he came along, we weren't that far out of slavery. We weren't that far out of black people not having the right to vote. So what he was asking for, he didn't have this love affair with sitting next to white people on buses and drinking out of water fountains that they drank out of. He thought that America was going to make good its promise that all people were created equal, and we were living in a society that was not equal. And so he was just trying to bring down those barriers. So I do, every time I hear people talking about, like, he was this passive, milquetoast person, mm-hmm. I would say put yourself in his shoes. And if you want to do something, you have enough right now. You don't have to go back to 1963. You don't have to go back to 1968. You can go right here to 2020, and we have just as much hate, just as much prejudice, just as much voter suppression than we had back then. So you don't have to go back to look at and question Dr. King's motives. You have to ask yourself, what are you doing right now?
Exactly right.
And the other point I want to make is when people talk about the dream, that's another thing they hatch on. So, well, we don't need dreamers, we need action. You have to look at what dream means. There's two dreams. There's a dream about when people go to sleep. But there's a second dream, which was Dr. King's dream. That's a dream of hope, of aspiration, looking up ahead for greater things to come. So he was not a sleeper. He was a person full of hope and aspiration, and that's the dream that he was pushing, and that's a very active, that's proactive. That's not a sleeping kind of dream. That's an active kind of dream. And so I like to look at Dr. King. Of course, did I agree with everything that Dr. King did? No, but one thing I do agree with, this man was fearless. He was committed to the uplifting and promoting the cause of justice, fairness, and equal opportunity. And that should never be questioned by anybody. Of course, we have our different methods, our different ways of going about things. But if you want to question the methods, if you want to question his his politics, that's one thing. But this man should be never questioned for his fearlessness and his commitment.
Never. Never, ever. Amen.
Never, ever, ever.
Anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Appreciate you.
Like I've always said, Dr. Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement was misinterpreted by the masses. And the reason it probably was misinterpreted by the masses was because the media threw out so much distortion.
Absolutely. As they do right now, as they're doing to this day.
Right. Just like, for example, Dr. Martin Luther King, even though he said that we should have the right to get on the bus, we should have the right to go to whatever school we wanted to, we had the right to go and rent a hotel if we wanted to. In other words, he wanted us to have access to these things. Say, for example, because if you're out on the highway, you're going from Charlotte to Maryland, and you want to stop and use the bathroom, well, you should be able to do that. But he's not saying shut down the black business in your neighborhood, stop supporting the black business in your neighborhood in favor of a white business. He wasn't saying shut down the black schools in your neighborhood and shut down the black colleges that you have access to go to the white school. He was just saying you should have the choice. And see, that's where a lot of times where we misinterpret it. It's like Dr. Martin Luther King, he was talking about economic empowerment the last speech he made.
Oh, yeah.
He was talking about supporting the businesses that support us, supporting a black-owned bank, supporting black-owned insurance companies. He was talking about that in his final speech, but the only thing we heard from that speech was some excerpts.
That's correct.
And just like a lot of us, and we have never read anything that Dr. Martin Luther King had ever written, except for the only thing we know about him is what we've heard on television, or some speeches that he made. Most of us have never gotten into the depth of what he was actually talking about and what he was promoting and what he was advocating.
That's so true, Joe. We're spoon-fed this narrative that he was a passive dreamer. He was everything but that.
And if you ever read Edgar
Hoover,
if you read Dr. Martin Luther King and you read Malcolm X, you will find out there was not a lot of difference between what they were saying. They were basically saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And as always, the media created this division to keep them fighting each other. And COINTELPRO did not just start with the name that we know, but that's an ongoing. I mean, it's actually taking place today under a different name. But that's the MO. That's the modus operandi. Keep people deluded.
As always,
deluded.
We bought the crap.
Yep. And still buying it.
Yeah. I'll tell you something else, too, man. But people can think what they want about reparations. You know, everybody has their opinion on that. But Dr. King was already speaking to that when he talked about how that there would be no real justice until there had been a radical redistribution of the wealth.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And see, and he was saying that in his I Have a Dream. And when he said, and I have a dream check, he said, when we have been given a check and a return insufficient funds, he said, but we know there's money in the bank.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's right.
The money is there.
Yeah.
You turn back, but the money was there.
Yeah, that's right, bro. That's right. So he was covering all bases. He was covering health care. He was covering economics. He was covering, you know, education, you name it. He had a whole 10-point plan, basically. That's what the Black Panther Party had, a 10-point plan.
I would say that I don't want anyone to think that we are Martin Luther King apologists or that we're just following the line. But what I want people to understand, though, is that when you start debating Martin Luther King and what he did and what he felt, debate on the facts and not what you've been fed, spoon-fed by the media.
Let me say this too, Robert, since we went here. and we briefly mentioned this, but for Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to get up every morning and continue doing what he was doing with the hatred he was getting from J. Edgar Hoover, the most powerful man in America at the time. He was more powerful than any president. He was more powerful than any probably anybody else in the world on the side of white nationalism, racism, and all that other stuff. J. Edgar Hoover made it a personal fight with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. People need to remember that. And J. Edgar Hoover had control of everybody in the nation in concert with all the media and everyone. And he was the one out there saying Dr. King is a liar. Dr. King is public enemy number one. Dr. King, he was telling his wife stuff. They were putting all kind of stuff out there. They were doing everything they could to destroy this man that none of us could have possibly imagined. And this man would get up every day and continue. How many threats he got? They were calling his house. They were calling his wife. They blew up the house. They were blowing up the place where he was speaking. And he still went.
And he talked about that in that.
He don't know the half.
Yeah.
He talked about that very thing in his speech. He talked about how he get tired and how he get weary living under the threat of death every day, and being criticized. And he said, and he emphasized that when he said I get tired of being criticized for all the work I do. He said, even from Negroes. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Even from
Negro. That's right, because most black churches wouldn't invite him to speak. They did not want Martin Luther King in their churches.
Yeah, they're going to blow it up. Yeah, they're scared they're going to get blowed up. Let me read something again. It's about a minute read, so bear with me.
Yes, sir.
Got about a minute read. It's from the speech of the mountaintop speech. And Dr. King says, I can remember when Negroes were just going around as raps and said so often, scratching where they didn't itch and laughing when they were not tickled. That day is all over. We mean business now, and we are determined to gain our rightful place in God's world. And that's all this whole thing is about. We aren't engaging in negative protests and in negative arguments with anybody. We are saying that we are determined to be men. We are determined to be people. We are saying that we are God's children, and that we are God's children, We don't have to live like we are forced to live. Now, what does all this mean in this great period of history? It means that we've got to stay together. We've got to stay together and maintain unity. You know, whenever Pharaoh wanted to prolong the period of slavery in Egypt, he had a favorite formula for doing it. What was that? He kept the slaves fighting amongst themselves. But whenever the slaves get together, something happens in Pharaoh's court, and he cannot hold the slaves in slavery. When the slaves get together, that's the beginning of getting out of slavery. Now, let us maintain unity. And I'm going to close it out with this. Secondly, let us keep the issues where they are. The issue is injustice. The issue is the refusal of Memphis to be fair and honest in its dealings with public servants who happen to be sanitation workers. Now, we've got to keep the attention on that. That's always the problem with a little violence. You know what happened the other day, and the press dealt only with the window breaking. I read the articles. They were very seldom got around to mentioning the fact that 1,300 sanitation workers are on strike and that Memphis is not being fair to them, and the mayor, Lowell, whatever his name is, in dire need of a doctor. They didn't get around to that. So what he's basically saying is the same stuff is going on now. We keep falling for the okey-doke.
Keep falling for the same mess.
And Negroes are using the same mess against each other. That's the sad part. That's what breaks me up.
Can't get over the mess. Can't get past the mess. Every time one Negro start to move up, another Negro want to tan down. You know, just like I was talking about this new one of the leaders of the NAACP gonna break away from the NAACP to start a poor people's campaign. Now, how in the world you going to leave the NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People? And, of course, if you know your history, you know that's what we were being called at that time, because you know we go through colored people, black people, Afro-American, African-American, but at that particular time, we were being called colored people. So an organization that was founded for the advancement of colored people, right now we have the lowest net worth of any group. We got the we have the lowest home ownership of any group. We got the highest unemployment rate of any group. We got the highest prison incarceration of any group. And all of these factors lead to poverty. And so all these leads to poverty, leads to people being poor. So why you got to leave the NAACP to go find poor people?
That's life. That's like me saying, okay, I'm going to leave Anson County. I'm going to go find me some charity to help.
Right. You got to go looking for people that need help, looking for people that need to know how to read, looking for people that need nutritional knowledge, looking for people that need to bring the SAT scores up and the grades up. You got to leave Anson County to go look for that. No, you got any of that right there.
I'm going to tell you something else, too, Joseph and family. Dr. King did not hesitate fighting for black people because black people were amongst the most oppressed, and that was a godly fight. He did not have to explain that. He did not have to suggest that I'm a racist if I'm fighting for people who are being discriminated by a system that's trying to destroy them and have murdered them and made slaves of them and took everything they had and robbed them and killed them. So that did not take explanation. But today we have so much so-called political correctness.
Right.
Until people are afraid to fight for black people. And
that's
so
right.
They have to go out and try to get these groups to try to look like, well, I ain't going to say color. I ain't going to say black. I ain't going to say this because I want some funding. And so
right.
It's not cool to say black no more. It's not cool to say I'm fighting for Negroes or colored people unless you're saying people of color, which include everybody. So my thing is, who is going to fight for black people in this generation if everybody's afraid?
Wow.
Because black people are not doing better. Black people, like you were saying, we're on the bottom of the totem pole in every imaginable category when it comes to living a life that is fulfilling and actually benefiting from the fruit of life from our own labor. We are the last on the totem pole, even when you put in the Latinos and the Hispanics. So, but we're afraid to fight for black people now. We're afraid to be labeled. And so that's another thing that we have to deal with when we look at Dr. King and people like Malcolm and those people, and they were willing to say, look, we are being mistreated. That's why I'm fighting for this group. It has, even if you're black or you're white or you're Latino, you should understand why black people and other people must fight to uplift those who are most oppressed.
So
that's what the problem is today. Everybody's getting scared. And meanwhile, black people are falling through the cracks. Black children are falling through the cracks.
You know, and I read some
another major distraction.
I read some statistics recently where it showed that since 1968, that was the year Dr. Martin Luther King died, of course, they said home ownership among black people is pretty much at the same where it was when Dr. Martin Luther King died. Unemployment is higher than when it was when Dr. Martin Luther King died. Black incarceration is higher now than it was when Dr. Martin Luther King came. And so we got, and it's like you're saying, all these people out here that are afraid to say, to speak up on the behalf of black people, they don't have no business talking for nobody.
Exactly right.
Jesus said, the least of these, what have you done for In every category shows that we are still the least among.
Exactly, Joseph. And see, and this is my thing about challenge and controversy. See, this is my thing about challenge and controversy. See, right now, it's controversial to stand on the platform of those who are amongst the least, black men, black people, black women, who are being murdered on the streets, who are being openly and massively incarcerated, who are being deprived. Like you said, every statistic would show we have less home ownership, less business ownership. We have nothing, and we are afraid to talk about it.
Scared to talk about it. Scared to talk about it.
Preach, brothers, preach. You guys are right on.
I got to keep something real for a minute. Y'all ready to hear some real talk? Just a minute. I got this. Got this email. It's saying that the North Carolina NAACP to make history at HKMJ organization established the largest contingency of LGBTQ people and allies. Now, I gotta say this. Seems like the LGBTQ has jumped. It's another distraction to me. I'm just saying this. It's like another distraction that the NAACP has decided to jump on. I don't get it.
You know what? You know,
I'm not down with it.
Let me tell you something. Can I say
that
too? Since
I'm on the originator of the EMJ. Slow down. Whoa. Yeah.
I need to say something, man.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Let me say something first.
Okay.
I told one of our leaders in NAACP when I got that thing. I said, first of all, even if I was LGBTQ, I would be able to see through this and know that this community is being used to divide the community of black people.
Well,
because for them to put that out there like that says to me, you have no concern about the diversity in our community and in our church, who really all are not on agreement in the way that we receive the LGBTQ community. You have to be real about that. So, if you really want to be inclusive and really get to the root of the black issues and the problems that are facing us, the first thing you do is not to throw out the LGBT community saying we are bringing out the LGBTQ. The way to do that is to continue fighting for justice, fighting for righteousness for black people. And when you fight for justice for black people, you will fight for all black people.
Yep.
But if you single out the LGBTQ, then the next thing you single out the women. Then the next day you single out the men. Then the next day you single out the people who are trans. That is a distraction and a division that will destroy us. When the police officers shoot,
I was very disappointed
when I saw
that. They
are not asking you what is your gender preference.
That's right. And I tell you right now,
I was very disappointed when I saw that.
Whether if you are.
And so when I saw that, Leon, I knew. See, I'm going to tell you something, Joseph. I'm just going to tell y'all. There are some people in the NAACP who are trying to destroy the NAACP.
That's right. That's their whole goal. And they're using by any means necessary to destroy it.
There are some people inside of the NAACP at the highest level who are trying to destroy. They are part of the COINTELPRO of today.
That's right. Right. And from the LGBT community, I don't whatever it is, LGBT or QRXTV or whatever those letters are. But if you are a white one, you got a better chance. If you are a white homosexual, you got a better chance of equality than I have as a man. Same thing goes for a female homosexual. You got a better chance of equality than a black female. That's not a homosexual. So my thing is, and why in the world you got to always make a big issue about what your sexual preference is? Ain't nobody else talking about what theirs is. So why you gonna get some special rights and special recognition based on your sexual preference? Most people don't even talk about what theirs is.
It's ridiculous. Boys, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, we have had a very highly charged discussion today on the Brothers for Real radio show tonight. I think we can all agree with that. I'm very informative.
Amen.
Some things we need to talk about and some things that are really pressing in our community. And we just it's hard. I'm going to just tell y'all something. It is hard doing right out here now. I mean, I'm not saying it's hard for you to do, but you got so much this foolishness all
so
around you. Stuff that just doesn't even make sense.
Leon. Leon,
yes.
And in the spirit of Reverend Dr.
Yes,
Martin Luther King Jr., I want to say to everyone out here, do right anyway. People are not going
do
to
right
like
anyway.
You when you do right. People are going to hate you when you do right. People are going to try to discourage you from doing right. Wherever you are, in your job, in your church, wherever you may be, do right and let the chip fall where they may.
That's right. And of course, we got a lot of history to attest to that. Let's look at Jesus Christ and look at Dr. Martin Luther King.
You know what Dr. King said? Dr. King said, I have decided to stick with love because hate is too great a burden to bear. Man, you talking about some powerful words.
Amen.
Keep on doing right. Just keep on doing right.
Amen to that.
Keep doing right. That's our message.
I feel good with the conversation tonight, brothers. You brothers have a good night. We out of here, man. Our time is up. Before y'all knew it, we have been out here an hour and 5 minutes. God bless you, Sister Huff. God bless you. You
good
keep
night,
strong,
everybody.
Keep getting those kids
God.
Prepared to go to college.
We love y'all, man.
You keep giving people all the information they need to go to college and everything else you're doing. I'm just proud of y'all. I'm glad I don't, you know, have to follow you around because I just get tired of watching you on Facebook. I don't know how you get from this spot
y'all
to this spot.
Have a good night.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. God bless you. Lord, pray right now by your ears, y'all. Lord, keep us strength. Keep us strength. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, brother. We're done.
Good night.
Have a good night, brother.
A Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream.
Amen.
I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities. Knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream.
Yes.
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream.
Yes.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Yeah.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."